Go ahead and pull the outlines out of the bulletin if you got one this morning. You can follow along as we talk about the theme that the Gems are talking about this year in their program of belonging to Abba Father. I want to talk about the power of belonging to you today. And it is, a timely and important message for all of us. So if you're an adult today, please don't tune out. This is as much for you as it is for the girls, though I may be addressing the girls a little bit more. Something we all need to hear. I want to ask you a question to start. Has Satan been messing with you lately? Has Satan been messing with you? The truth is that he's looking for ways to mess with you on a regular basis. It's something the Bible talks about frequently. You just got to know how and where. Well, I want to give to you one of the formulas that the devil uses that's well-worn, it's tried and true, and it works, so he keeps using it. It's a formula that goes this way. What I look like, plus what I do, plus what others think, equals what I'm worth. Can any of you identify with that? This tendency we have, boys and girls, this tendency to think what I look like is a good part of what I'm worth. If I look pretty, if I look good to people, if I have the right clothes, if I wear my hair the right way, if I have makeup, if I look good, I'm worth something to people. If I do the right things, if I behave the right, if I'm funny, my friends will like me. If I'm cool around everybody, I'm going to have a good group to hang out with. What others think of me is what really matters. I'm worth something if others look at me and say, you're a pretty important person. I like you. I like what you do. If my friends and my peer group and my teachers and everybody else thinks good things of me, then I'm worth something. That is part of the devil's formula. That who I am is determined by how I look, by what I do, and by what others think. I want to give to you a new formula at the end of the message today. And we're going to build up to it, so stay tuned as we get into it. But let's start with the Bible, because the Bible gives us the new way to look, the better way to look at ourselves. Take the Bibles out of the chairs. The red Bibles, page 1118. Keep the Bible open as we look at this text. Wonderful, wonderful passage on identifying ourselves, who we are before God and how He looks at us. Page 1118, Romans chapter 8. You got to know, this comes on the heels of Paul the writer saying, I'm messed up. I am worthless. You know what he does in chapter 7? He calls himself something that as parents, we would always say to our kids, don't say that about yourself. He says, I'm a wretch. I'm basically saying, I'm worthless. Chapter 7 of Romans, Paul says, I am just a piece of junk. And he is down on himself. But then comes chapter 8, and you got to read some of it on your own. I can't read it all. But in verse 15, here's what he concludes on the upside of things as he's worked this through. He says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. You don't have to be afraid about whether you're worthwhile, whether you're valuable, whether you're precious and treasured. That fear can go away. But you have received, it says, the spirit of sonship. The other word for that is adoption. You've received the spirit of adoption, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. We've received a spirit of adoption. We are the children of God. I want to talk to you today about the power of belonging. Belonging means several things. I'm going to track you through them. I'm going to give you some word combinations. At first appearance, you're not going to see the direct link, but I'll explain it and it'll be very clear. First of all, belonging to God means that we who once were adrift have now been adopted. We who were once drifting out there on our own, out on the seas, have now been adopted. How do those connect? Let me tell you. First of all, a story about Melinda Lopez, a lady in real life a couple years ago, several years ago, maybe five or so, was out on a shrimp boat in the Gulf of Mexico off of Galveston, Texas. She was with a crew of people, had some downtime. She went to find a corner to read, but the waves were choppy. And as she went off on her own with her book in hand, she slipped and she tripped and fell overboard into the high waves in the Gulf of Mexico. For the next 13 hours, Melinda swam without a life jacket, desperately hoping just to make it through. She bumped into some rather large fish. She had to deal with heavy waves. But eventually she heard a sound in the distance. She swam toward it and found an abandoned oil rig platform. She crawled up on board. Could you imagine, after 13 hours of swimming, how exhausted she would have been? On the platform, she found some moldy bread and some water and some paint, enough to get her through the next 24 hours. She used that paint to scroll the words SOS on the platform. She found a balloon that she could blow up. She wrote those words. And in a little while, by the end of that day, a rescue crew came and saved her. She had been adrift for 13 hours and then more on that platform all by herself. And now she was rescued and brought back to her family. Now here's the analogy. Here's the application I want you to catch. And on a personal level, on a spiritual level, we are adrift from God. We are far from Him. We're trying to swim out there and make our way, make headway. And we are lost and we're hurting. And God says, I will come and rescue you. And I will bring you back to your rightful home. That's what God does. That's what Abba the Father is all about. Let me tell you how that happens in a personal way. I'm going to take you through a series of slides. So first of all, we have the text that tells us that we can cry, Abba, Father, and that we are God's children. Now here's the picture. I want you to position yourself in the place of that individual standing over on the left side. That person is separated from God, the Bible says, by something called sin. Removed from God, adrift, trying to figure out our way. Is there a God? Who is He? How do we relate to Him? Trying to figure all that out. And sin blocks the way. We can't cross the chasm. So God said, I'm going to create a bridge. I do not want there to be a permanent separation. I don't want you to be adrift. I want you to be welcomed and rescued and brought into my family. So He creates a bridge. What's the bridge? The bridge is the person of Jesus Christ, who by His death and by His resurrection says, I will pay the penalty of your sins. The stuff that caused you to be adrift, I will pay the penalty. And I'll give you the opportunity to cross the bridge into relationship with Me. All you need to do is, by My work in your life and drawing of you, you need to come and walk over the bridge. Here's how it works, girls and boys and adults. You look at that and you say, I believe what Jesus Christ has done for me. I'm adrift from God, but I receive what You did for me on the cross, dear Jesus. I'm so thankful, Heavenly Father, that You sent Your Son, and I receive Your work in my life. I say that I'm a sinner, but I know that I am loved by You. And I come across the bridge into the adopted, welcoming family of God, to Your arms, Abba Father, waiting for me. That's how this works. We are adrift spiritually, but now we're adopted. It says it in other places of the Bible. John 1 verse 12. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God. Ephesians 1. He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. And now this text. Girls, I want you to help me with this one. Are you ready? Let's do it together. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Let's say the last phrase again. And that is what we are. You see, Abba loves you. And He wants to welcome you into His family. And to treasure you and hold you as a special person in His sight. And you just need to say, Jesus, I open my heart to You. And I come into relationship with You. And if you need any help with that, your counselors can help you to make that step. They would love to help you with that. And your parents can help you too. So here we are. Belonging with God means that we're adrift. We who are adrift are now adopted. But listen, Satan is going to mess with you. Remember I said that? The devil messes with us. How does he do it? Well, number one, God, is he personal? You can't see him. How do you know that he's an Abba Father if you can't even see him? Maybe he's just the God who wound up the world like a clock, set it on a shelf, and walked away. We want to think that maybe this God is just like the God of the stars, the one who made all this big stuff. What does little old me matter to him? And God says, no, I call myself Abba because the word Abba says that you are special to me. It's a term of affection. So I'm not just the big God of the grand universe. I'm a personal God of your soul, and I care about you. When we say the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, that's really what you're saying. I belong to God. Don't let Satan mess with you. Here's another way Satan messes with you. And now adults, listen up. This is especially for you. Satan messes with us by saying, look at your past. Remember that formula? How I look, what I do, what others think is what I'm worth. How about that what I do part? What if what you've done are skeletons in the closet of your life? And you look back at some stuff, maybe not that far past, and you say, if only my regrets are so great, if I had only not done that. Or if people knew what I had to say, what I've done, what would people think of me? You know what? God already knows. God already knows. And Satan will mess with your mind until you open your heart up to the fact that God not only knows, but God unconditionally loves. A good parent will accept and welcome back a child who's drifted away no matter how far they've gone. A good parent will stand at the end of the driveway and say, come on back, son, daughter. I love you. Unconditionally. There may be some words of correction, wisdom, guidance, and advice. But the bottom line is, I love you. And God the Father says, I love you no matter what your past. Don't let Satan mess with your mind. God loves us well. And He's calling us to Him. Second, belonging means we who were once adrift are now adopted. Here's another connection of words. We who were once alone are now accountable. And you're thinking, where's the connection there? Stay with me, you'll see. Alone. Have you ever had it? Maybe late at night. Girls, you go up to your room and nobody else is around. Your parents are off in bed. You're still laying there awake. And you think back to the stuff that happened that day. And maybe your friends were pretty nasty to you today. And you get into your room and you're at night and all by yourself. And you feel so alone. And all of us have had that from one time to another. Where the stuff going on in our life, the things we're afraid of, the insecurities we have, and we say to ourselves, nobody gets me. I guess I'm just here alone. And in those moments, you got to feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. There's this picture, this idea of carrying the whole weight of the world. Do you ever feel that? All alone. And God wants to say to us this morning, you may feel lonely by times, but you are never alone. I am here. I understand and I care. You are never alone. And you know how you know it? Well, that's the other word, the word accountability. Do you know that accountability is not just this negative thing of jobs you have to do, responsibilities? You know how your parents will make you go clean up your room before you eat dinner? Or they'll make you do your homework before you watch any TV in the evening. Or they'll make you take the trash out before you do anything else. That's part of accountability. That's responsibility in the house. But because you're accountable, it tells you, listen to this, you're accountable because you count. If you never had responsibility, it would mean you could get away with murder, with anything. How many of you have seen the Home Alone movies? I want to see your hands. There's three of them out there. Great. A lot of you have seen it. There's like, I think there are three of them. And the guy, I found out, somebody told me between the services, his name is Kevin. All right. So you remember Kevin in Home Alone? Now his parents take off for Christmas vacation and they, kind of forget about him. I hope nobody here has ever had that. If you have, I'd like to talk to you and use a sermon example sometime. They forget Kevin at home. So what happens? He's got no accountability. He can do whatever he wants. So what does he do? He trashes the house. Parents, your worst nightmare coming true, right? But here he is. He can do whatever he wants. No accountability at all. Now here's the thing. As you watch the movie, you start to feel kind of sorry for the guy. I mean, he's got these bad people trying to track him down and kidnap him, all kinds of stuff. But just the fact that he's doing he's trying to figure everything out, shopping and protecting himself. He's all alone. And then when his parents came back home, you know, he got to take the trash out, clean up the house that he had just made a disaster of. But guess what? That would be for him the sign that his parents had remembered, that he counted. We are accountable, which tells us that we count. Here's what it says in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 12. You've got your Bibles open, look at it. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. And then it goes on to tell us the kind of things that we're supposed to do. We are accountable to God because we count to God. We're not alone. We're part of this household. To use the water illustration, I told you about Melinda, who was adrift out at sea. Well, picture yourself out in a rubber dinghy, out in the water, and the storm clouds are brewing. You're all by yourself. You could do whatever you want, but now you're scared. And a boat comes by, picks you up, and you're welcome on board. And the crew gives you a hug and says, you're welcome here. You're one of the crew. You're one of us. And you feel safe and secure. And while you're there, when the captain says, all hands on deck, you pitch in with everybody else. You're accountable with the crew, but it helps you feel secure because you're part of the crew family. And that's essentially what is being said in this text. You belong, and the power of belonging is you are never alone and you're no longer adrift, but rather you're adopted and you're accountable because you count. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? But here again, we got the devil messing with us. The devil who says to us, listen, you can do whatever you want. You're a human being. You make your own choices. If I want to be nasty to a person who's nasty to me, I can do that. If I want to give back talk to my parents, I can do that. If I want to lie to keep my boss happy, I can do that. And the devil is messing with our minds. God says, listen, you matter so much to me that I'm going to have you part of this family where you're responsible and accountable to live a certain way. Don't let the devil mess with you that stuff's okay. Live the way that God calls us to live. And then the next part is that our belonging to God means that we who once were poor are now princes and princesses. We who once were poor. Now, we live in a world where very few people are poor, a culture around us where very few of us are truly poor. You saw some pictures during the Dream God's Dream DVD that showed some people from another part of the world who are very poor. This GEMS group has a sister GEMS group in Zambia, wonderful group of girls, many of whom have far less girls than anything you have. They will never have the kind of stuff you have. And they may be poor physically, but with God in their life, with Abba in their hearts, they are rich. They know, and they're learning to know, like you are, that they are princesses. You know, the counselors came on today with these crowns, and the girls are going to wear the crowns before the end of this year. They know that they're princesses. They're not poor. They're rich in Jesus. And the girls in Zambia who have very little physically know that they are rich in Jesus. They may struggle with physical stuff sometimes, but this is who they really are. And this text in Romans 8 is so clear. Take a look at it, if you would. Verse 16 and 17. Wonderful verses. Here's how it goes. It says in verse 16, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we're children, God's children. Now, verse 17, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Can you imagine that? The God of the universe who put the stars in the sky, who put the mountain peaks, who created little molecules and chromosomes, He's the same God who says to you and me, you are precious and you are princes and princesses. You are part of a royal family, not adopted into any home, but into royalty. You are princes and princesses. In the daddy-daughter dance, there were some girls who felt very much like princesses that night. Let's show a couple of those pictures. Just scroll through them. Isn't that wonderful? Girls who saw that their dads loved them very much, that they are treasured, all of them treasured by their dads. How much more, the Bible says, are not you treasured by your Father in heaven? You are princes and princesses. And now let me tell you this, as we start to wrap up, think about a couple things. First of all, think about this. You are born into and reborn into privilege. And with privilege comes responsibility. What's your responsibility as princesses of the Father? 1 John 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who has been born of God and knows God, let us love one another. Now, listen up, girls, and everybody else, pay attention to this. Every one of us knows somebody who needs to know the love of Abba, right? Every one of us. And I would dare say that there may be somebody in your life right now who is feeling adrift and alone and who is wondering whether they really count. And you may not even know it. You may not even know it. There are so many girls and boys and teens and adults going through this world keeping it to themselves, but feeling very much alone and unwanted and uncared for. And the devil is messing with their minds, and they don't feel very important, and they don't think anybody cares about them. And God comes along and says, first to you, I love you. I'm your Abba Father. Now, with that sense of worth and value, I want you to go find somebody who doesn't feel loved and let them experience the love of God. Let them know that you matter to them, that they matter to you, rather, and that they matter to God. Let them know the love of Abba. So girls, here's an assignment. Here's a job for you to do this week. And I'm serious about this. I want you to think about one girl that you know who doesn't have too many friends. And this week, I want you to go up to them and to just say hi and to talk with them a little bit. And maybe somehow, I believe God will use you to help them know the love of Abba, the same love that you know yourselves. And by the way, that's an assignment for all of us. One person this week who needs to know the love of Abba, let them know you care. And let God give you the opportunity to show them the love of the Father. By the way, this coming June, there's a group from this church that's going to go to Haiti to an orphanage. Let's scroll through a few of those pictures. These are some of the kids at God's Littlest Angels Orphanage in Haiti. And there's people from our church who are going to go to these kids and are going to share with them and just spend time with them to show them the love of God. In an orphanage, there are people all over the world who have no mom and dad, either because they were abandoned by them or because they died. And they have no one. Think about it. Nobody to show them love until somebody comes along. And at this orphanage, there are some wonderful individuals who come and say, you may not have physical parents, but I will love you as my own. And people who are adopting children all around the world today. And I know, by the way, in this church, that there are a number of kids, a number of adults who have been adopted. And they have come into homes where they know that though they're not physical flesh and blood of the parents, they are as though they were, because they are loved just the same. And God says, I adopt you into my family. Now I want you to go and show that kind of love to others around us. Girls, why don't you come on back up? They're going to sing for us in a minute. And while they're coming up, just a note for you as parents. If you want to go a little deeper with these concepts, then if you have your Bible still open, take a look and do some studying this week on verse 28 that says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. How can you experience the love of a Heavenly Father and embrace His care for you even when you go through struggles and hard times? Give that some thought. And then look at some words at the end of chapter 8. And girls, you can listen to this as well. Know in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does that mean for our lives? And I pray that you grow in that. Now, girls, you want to turn around for just a second, look up on the wall, because here's the new formula that I want us to have. This isn't the devil's formula. This is God's formula. God's formula is this: what Jesus did on the cross, plus what the Father thinks. What does the Father think? The Father thinks, I love my children so much that even though I'm the master God of the universe, I'll let them call me Abba, which is like daddy. That's how much I love. I think that, I know that, and I want my kids on earth to know that. Plus, what he gives me to wear, what does he give us to wear? The crown that says you are a prince or a princess. That is what I'm worth. Not how I look, how I act, or what others think, but what Jesus did, what the Father thinks, and what he gives me to wear. So girls and boys and everybody here, here's the deal. We have been adopted. We are accountable to God. We are loved and treasured. And our call is to help others to know and experience the same love. You're out there on the high seas, but guess what? We are on a boat where we have a great captain who loves us, who treasures us, who gives us jobs to do. And you know what? We are destined for some great shores. There's a destination. We're not just floating around. We're headed toward a place that's better than any cruise you could ever go on. We're destined for heaven, eternity with God. Take someone else with you. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, so much that we can know with all security that we belong to you, that we matter. And Father, I pray every girl up here right now will know they matter and are loved dearly by you, that they'll reject and tell the devil to go away because he cannot mess with our minds when we know Abba, Father. Thank you, Abba, that you're in our lives through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to live as children, as princes and princesses of the King. And also, God, would you help us know who to reach out to this week to know that love of God? Father, thank you so much that we can receive your blessing now. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.